Sorry, the pastor made me late. Let's all stand together. We're going to start with, we're going to open up this morning with Happy Day.
Morning. I hope it's a happy day for you. I know when you wake up and you see the snow, it's easy to kind of, unless you're Lynn, you're not excited about it. But you know what? To think about the truth, today's a happy day because Jesus has washed my sin away. And let the snow, every time you see the snow, don't let it get you down. Think, you know what? My sin, which was scarlet, is now white as snow. Well, if you'll take your bulletins, we have several announcements to go through. First of all, if you are on a committee, committee meetings are right after church today, and it's a fun meeting. It's the first time our committees get to actually pour through their budgets, all right? And so that's a lot of fun, so you don't want to miss that. All right, deacons, the next deacon meeting has been moved because we're not going to have the deacon meeting right before Thanksgiving. Just be aware of that. There's a misprint there. And next Sunday after church, we are scheduled for a business meeting. It'll be a very brief one, okay, next Sunday after church. And if you would like to help with snow removal, we need help with that. If you could sign up at the Welcome Center, and you will be contacted when you are needed. And this year, instead of decorating the church all out and doing a whole bunch of, we have fewer decorations this year. So what we're doing is we're doing adopt a tree, okay? So we're looking for some families to say, I'm going to take a tree and decorate it. Now, some trees are going to be up here at the front of the stage, and those all are going to be white lights and either gold and silver ornaments, okay? So if you would like to adopt, your family would like to adopt a tree, and you would like to bring in and decorate that under those parameters, then we would love to have you adopt one of those trees. We always have a tree at the opening of the auditorium, that big, huge tree, if your family or a couple families would like to adopt that tree. And then out in the Welcome Center, there are going to be two trees that we're going to have out there if you'd like to adopt one of those trees, okay? The way that you adopt a tree is let either Cheryl Campbell know or Lynn Anderson, and we'll get you signed up to have a tree that your family can adopt. And we are going to start putting those up after Thanksgiving. In fact, the Sunday after Thanksgiving weekend is our goal to start to have all the trees get put up. We have just finished last week collecting for the world mission, the Change Things, and we donated 165 boxes, which means that 165 treasures, the audio Bibles, are able to be sent out to those who need them. And so we want to praise the Lord for that. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The deacon assignments are posted in the hallway. And if you say, I'm not connected with the deacon, I didn't get, somehow my name's not on any of those, and you didn't have a deacon hand you a form, then you can either call the office, or if there's a deacon that you want to be your deacon and you're not on a list anywhere, just walk up to a deacon and say, hey, I'm not on a list. I want you to be my deacon. And then they're kind of stuck with you, okay? So that'll work that way. And then there's a lot more announcements you can read in the bulletin for those. If you did a shoebox, we have to deliver them today, okay? And so if you did a shoebox and you forgot to bring it, we need you to get that back here ASAP because they have to be delivered to the distribution centers. All right, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that as we meet here together that we meet with friends. Lord, we go out into the world and it's so divisive out there right now. I thank you that as we meet together, we have one opinion, and that opinion is that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And I thank you, Lord, that as we have that opinion together, that whatever differences we might have in life, you bring all that's important together. And so as we meet here today, Lord, you have a message for us. You want us to know that there is an identity that we should have. It's not an identity that the world would give us. It's not an identity that others would give us. It's not even an identity that necessarily our family would give us. But Lord, you yourself have specifically and specially to each one of us said, I love you. And you have to each one of us said, I want you to know who you are in me. And so God, I pray that this morning that we would learn something about our relationship with you, but also, Lord, that we would learn something about who we are as people. And as we have time to look at your word this morning, may it be precious and special and effective in our lives. So, Lord, to you be all the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is like,
do this. So you get three of them. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing as we sing Whom Shall I Fear?
Bye. sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Lord, I adore you.
Gold and rainbows, all the living color, flashes of light. Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this season of the year, Father. It's a time of thanksgiving and time of reflection upon the blessings we have in our lives, Father. We think of others that may not be so fortunate, Father. As we come forth with our tithes and offerings today, Father, I would hope that our church would be extra giving in this season, Father.
I ask that folks would open their hearts to the message to be brought forward, Father, and to receive it inside. It's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.
Thank you. regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief.
Hey, Kat.
Jesus?
Ha ha, it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah, I didn't expect to see you here.
What is that smell?
Oh, smell? It's my trash. I'm a little embarrassed by it.
So is that why you've been avoiding me?
Oh, avoiding you? I haven't been avoiding you. It's just I didn't want to get close to you, you know? I was afraid you might smell it.
Well, let me take it.
Oh, no. It's okay. This is my trash, and I've made it. I should really take care of it. I can carry it. It's okay.
But that's what I do.
No, right.
It's my job. I take people's trash.
Right. But what if I just go, and I could, like, clean it up a little, and then I'd come right back?
Okay. Yeah. I don't need you to do that for me, okay? Let me take it. And I'll carry the weight. I will carry the weight for you, okay? All right?
Oh.
Come on. Come on. Let it go. Trust me. Trust me. Huh? There we go. Huh? Let go. How's that feel? Huh?
Weird.
Yeah? Yeah? How's that feel?
Well.
Huh?
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, just loosen it up a little. Yeah. Here we go.
Look at that! I don't know if I've ever even moved like that before, you know what I'm saying? I feel alive and kind of, like, free.
Yeah, that's the lack of trash.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, but it's, I don't know, it's just like something might be missing.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, get used to feeling free, because that's what you are now.
Right,
yes.
Well, I'm just going to get one thing.
One thing? No, wait, Kat, don't open that bag.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm really thankful for the sacrifice you made for me, Jesus. I appreciate everything that you've done.
Kat, what's going on here?
What?
Look, I will take your trash, but that has to go back.
No, you know what? This is my piece. And I want to keep it.
No, I will help you, but it goes back in the bag.
No, because this makes sense. I need to keep this piece to remind myself not to make more trash.
Kat,
makes sense.
I will remind you not to make more trash, okay? It's what I do. We'll walk together on
right.
this, okay?
I know. But I should be further along now than I was then. I'm the same, and I keep making these mistakes, and I keep letting you down.
Kat, the only thing that's letting me down is you keep taking that trash. I was taking trash before you were even created. Look, don't you see what's going on here? Every time I take a piece of your trash, you come and take it back. And the more you take, the more trash you attract. It reeks. Catherine, when I look at you, I don't see your sin. I see you, the real you, the free you. That's what I've been fighting for. That's what I died for.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
Hey, I've already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive yourself?
And so I'm here just as I am, bruised or broken, I don't have to pretend.
Children to Children's Church, and the drama that we just had, it really displays for us what Ephesians chapter 2 is all about. And so let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And as the children are heading out, there is no Awana this Wednesday and no Bible study because of Thanksgiving. And so no Awana, no Bible study. So I just wanted to make sure I got that announcement out there. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I wonder how many times we're just like Kat. I couldn't remember her name first. I was going to call her Angie because that's who played the part. Sometimes we're just like that in our lives, aren't we? We want to hold on because, you know what? We're embarrassed by it, but yet we're embarrassed to give it back to Jesus, right? And sometimes we find our identity in the things that we hold on to that Christ has actually forgiven us from. And so as we read through Ephesians 2 here, keep these things in your mind. Ephesians chapter 2, we're just going to read through the whole passage, and then we'll look at it together. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, it says, "And you has he quickened." Now every time we see this word quickened, think in your mind, made alive. Okay? Made alive. "And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with him in Christ. By grace, you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." No, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has both made one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This passage is so wonderful because it tells us about our identity. Just like in the drama, Jesus has saved you. He's freed you. He's made it so that you are now able in your life to put the trash down so that you can be close to Christ. In verse 1, it tells us that he saves us by making us alive and bringing us to Christ. In verse 3, it tells us that he saves us by bringing us close to Christ, even though that we used to be filthy. In verse 8, it tells us again that it's by grace he brings us to Christ. In verse 13, verse 15, verse 16, verse 18, all these verses, he saves us by making us alive and bringing us to Christ. This is such an awesome thought. Because when he saves us and makes us alive, he doesn't keep us at a distance. He brings us in. To be made alive is to be brought in. Okay, let's think about it. On Thursday, most of us will be sitting probably with family or friends having Thanksgiving dinner, right? Okay? Now, unless you got a little kids' table and you palm the kids off to the little kids' table, the family all sits together, right? You don't have like the smelly aunt or smelly uncle that you're like, oh no, you're eating on the porch. Everybody else is eating in here. You don't do that because you bring the whole family in together. Because you're all part of the same. Now, here's what happens in salvation. Everybody who has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is made alive. You are not dead anymore. Since you are not dead anymore, you don't need to carry around your trash. He saved you so you don't have to do that. He saved you because he wanted to bring you near to the Father, to God. You get to sit at the table with God. In verse 2, it lets us know that he completely changes us. We used to walk a certain way. We used to walk after the course of this world and after the prince and power of the air. That's Satan. We used to, without even knowing it, we did the works that our Father wanted us to do. See, before salvation, we were part of a family that we didn't even know we belonged to, and that's the family of the devil that's being lost. There's only two families. Okay, I know we live in a world where you're supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be tolerant and you're supposed to be like diverse. Okay, I mean, the Bible does not teach diversity when it comes to faith. The Bible teaches two families. One family is of God and one family is of the devil. And the only way to get out of the family of the devil and into the family of God is to be saved through Jesus. And there is no other name. As you go through Ephesians 2, do a study of this on your own. Go through and see how many times it talks about how we were something and then we became something else. And as we were something, what was the remedy? What was the bridge that brought us from where we were and to where we are? And every single time you're going to see it was Christ, 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 Christ. All religions are not equal. Because you know any religion that doesn't include Christ? That religion is going to say your identity is found good when you are good enough. And when you're not good enough, your identity shows you as you are not good enough. Every religion except for Jesus Christ is going to tell you that. But you know what Jesus Christ says? He says, don't even worry about you. I take care of you. I bring you near. I bring you into the family. And here's what he does. He completely changes us. We don't change ourselves. This is the wonderful thing about our faith. In our faith, we used to walk a certain way, but then came Christ, and now we are something different. And because now we are different, why are we carrying around that trash? What are you carrying around that you identify with that is part of the life that Christ has saved you from? Verse 3, we had a conversation that was according to our lust in the past, but now it's different. In verse 11, it says that we remember when we were Gentiles, we were of the flesh, we were outside of God's chosen. But now, verse 12, it says that that we were aliens from the commonwealth. We were just completely strangers from that which is God's. And then in verse 17, it says, he came and preached to those who were far off. Boy, that's us. We were far off. And this is what Christ has done. He's completely changed us. I'm going to talk to you about some wrong ways that we identify ourselves. And you know what we do as Christians? We wrongly identify ourselves these ways. First of all, before I do that, let me just read a couple of verses. Because sometimes we're not cognizant. We're not intellectually aware of the fact that we do these things. First thing, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." I know I've done a lot of counseling with people, and I'll counsel with a child, a teenager, and they'll say, "I'm stupid." And I'll say, "Who told you you're stupid? My dad." And you know what? Almost every single time, those kids aren't very good at school. And you know why? It has nothing to do with their intellectual capacity. It has everything to do with, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You see, what we hold in our heart and what we believe about ourselves in our heart, that is what will come out of our life. What we hold in our heart is, out of it are the issues of life. In Mark 7:20, Jesus said, "That which comes out of the man, that defiles the man." See, what we hold inside and what we let come out, that's what defiles us. That's where our problem lies. And so when we have a wrong type of identity of ourself, that comes from the fact that we have the wrong things inside. So here's the first thing. Number one, conditions. You say, "Well, I do have a condition." Okay, but why are you identifying yourself with that condition? Why is that what defines you? If that's where you spend your emotional and your all your thought processes go toward that condition that you have, yep, that's what you will be. And I think Jesus Christ has saved us from something greater than to identify ourselves as that. How about your disorders, number two? "Well, I've got this disorder, and I can't help it." Again, your disorders should not be what defines you. Number three, addictions. I hate it when somebody says, "Well, I'm an alcoholic. AA taught me I will always be an alcoholic." Okay, and I understand where they're coming from. You're always going to struggle with that. But you know what? In Christ Jesus, you were far off. You had a way that you walked. You had a lifestyle that you lived. And when he brings you close, he changes you. And what you claim as your addiction, Jesus Christ wants you to claim it as freedom. Number four, disease. You say, "But I can't help the disease." Right, but why does your disease define you? There's so much we can't and won't do in life because of the diseases that we have. And there's so much more that Christ could do through us if we would identify ourselves in him rather than limiting ourselves by the disease. How about your past? I think probably every single one of us here could think, and we define ourselves by what has happened in the past. And it completely puts a roadblock in front of us that we can't jump over, that we don't move forward with life. We feel like, well, this is what happened in the past. I guess I'm stuck as this. I guess this is me. But you know what? That's not what Christ wants you to be. Christ understands the past. He says, yup, you have a past. And it's really cool about Ephesians 2 is he identifies that. He points to it. And he doesn't condemn. In fact, he uses the past to say, I've got a better future for you. You were this in the past, but now it's better. And so don't let your past define you. Number 6. Originally I had what others think, but you know what it really is? It's the imagination of what others think. We identify ourselves by what we think other people think about us, right? Now, as I talk about it right now, you're going to start thinking, boy, that's just crazy. But we do that. We imagine what somebody else is thinking about me. We imagine how somebody else perceives something. And so we begin to identify ourselves by what we think those people think. Okay, let me, newsflash. They're not thinking that. And even if they did, Christ's opinion matters, not theirs. Number 7, relationships. I was talking to a man one time. He said, well, he said, I'm married wrong, so I'm wrong the rest of my life. And I'm like, you bum. I think she married wrong. Fix it. Not divorce. Fix your relationship. Fix it with God first and with each other next. But for a lot of you young people, you look at your relationships, whether it's with your peer group or with it's a boy with a girl or a girl with a boy, and you find your identity in that. And I want to tell you what, that's the worst place to find your identity. Because that identity, as a young person who's not married yet, is probably, most probably, going to change. And change and change and change. Right, adults? Anybody out there been through that? Yep. You dated your 6 or 7 or 52 people, and then eventually you realized that there's something so much better. Let me tell you what, when you find your identity in Christ, Christ tells you, so much better than the world can. So much better than a boy who is infatuated, a girl that's infatuated, can ever do for you. Because Jesus Christ loves you unconditionally. And all of your failures and every time that you've fallen down, Jesus Christ, he says, I died to pick you up. So don't let them have that victory. Number 8, your stuff. Come on, let's be honest. How many of us, we've identified ourselves through our stuff? All right, this is no joke. I met this guy I was sitting at a coffee shop waiting to meet somebody. This other guy came walking by and said hi to him and just struck up a conversation. And he goes, what do you do? And I told him, I'm a pastor. And I said, what do you do? And he goes, oh, you know, I work at, I can't remember, some factory. And I said, okay. And he goes, my life is getting really good. I'm like, why is that? He goes, I just got a 65-inch flat-screen TV, 4K. At the time, I had no idea what 4K was. And I'm like, that cost you $4,000? He's like, no, it's the speed of the TV, the definition. I'm like, you know what? When we identify ourselves through our stuff, we have to find more stuff. Because the stuff that we have is always going to become outdated. And the stuff that we have is always, our neighbor's always going to buy something better. And the person we work with is always going to have something bigger. And so you know what we have to stop doing is we have to stop identifying ourselves through our stuff. And number 9, our status. I hate titles, okay? I hate titles. Because you know what titles do? They define you as, you know, I'm the manager. How good for you. Right? I'm sitting at this table with a bunch of pastors, and they're all introducing themselves. And one guy, I mean, we're all pastors, okay? I'm Pastor so-and-so. And I wanted so badly to say, thank you, Captain Obvious. Okay? Listen, our titles. But yeah, we get so caught up in these titles. When I got my degree, all right, I had a guy who was a close friend. He goes, do I have to start calling you doctor? And I'm like, no. He goes, good, because I wasn't going to anyway. But see, here's the thing. When we identify ourselves with our title, that's the wrong. Who cares? You're the only one. And if that's where you find your worth, you're going to come up empty. So let's look at our identity in Christ. Look at verse 10 with me, because I think verse 10 puts it so well. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are God's workmanship. You don't like the body type that you are. You don't like the way that one ear sits here and the other ear sits up here, you know. You don't like the forehead. The ever-growing forehead. It's just because the forehead's, I'm not losing hair. The forehead just, it's like, you know, the ears and the nose never stop growing, you know. We are his workmanship. When we complain about how he made us, we're complaining about him. He forms us. He makes us. You are crafted by the hand of God. You could never have been crafted any better. You are formed by the hands of God. No one could have shaped you any better. You are God's workmanship. Created. Oh, just two things about being God's workmanship. Number one, you are a special creation. Even identical twins, all right, are special creations. You are a special creation. Thank God nobody else in the world is like me. Nobody else in the world will be me. I am a special creation. You are a special creation by God. Do you know that when you were in your mother's belly, God was forming you? That's why abortion is such an awful thing. God's special creation is being snuffed out by the hand of man. What a terrible thing that is. You are God's special creation. And he has created you in a specific
And I know that there are some of you that you have a lot of pain from where you come from. But let me tell you something about the workmanship of God. When God made you, he created you in a specific context. And that context was, he has a plan. A plan that will change the world around you. Because you know what? When you sit around at Thanksgiving, you might be sitting around with a whole bunch of criminals and thugs and thieves. But let me tell you about what Jesus Christ. He wants to use the context of your creation to reach those people.
I must have preached too long because I ran out of battery, right? I'm not done yet. God has created each one of us in a special context. We are his workmanship. He didn't accidentally drop you in the wrong family. And you say, well, I'm adopted. All the more reason to say, praise God, he dropped you into the exact right family. We are created in Christ Jesus. Being created in Christ Jesus God the Father entrusted his son to a novice mother. Did you know that? Mary was a virgin. She didn't have any other kids. She's probably still a teenager. I mean, probably an age where most of us would be like, no! And God the Father entrusted his son to be raised by a novice, to grow up in the home of a couple that had a lot of things they had to work out. When God the Father let his son go through all of that in a dysfunctional world, God the Father knew when you would be created, and he says, I'm going to create you in Christ Jesus. Because here's the thing, everything that we go through in life, Jesus Christ has already conquered. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. And we can find hope in that, that he will help us in our life situations. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are not created in any other religion, form. When we're created in Christ Jesus, and this is specifically at salvation, when we are created in Christ Jesus, we are pulled from everything that life used to be, and we are now in a perfect condition. We have an eternal life. And because of this, the past can be the past. Former sins can be former. Because I am now in Christ. And in Christ, there is victory over all my sin. Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. And that life that he gives, it's only created in him. And we're created unto good works. Why does God save you? So you can do good for him. I know good works are not part of us getting saved. Absolutely not. You don't do anything good to be saved. But after you're saved, he creates you so you can do good. Point number two comes from verse 15. In verse 15, it says this, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. We are a new person in Christ. The greatest thing about religion of Jesus Christ is he is, I know, we've been taught all our lives, we've got a list of rules to live by. You know what it tells us here? All those ordinances, those commandments, those handwriting of things that were against us. You know what he did? He nailed them to the cross and he says, I'm abolishing those. I'm setting you free from those. Because those things you could never do. And you say, but that's contrary to being created unto good works. I thought those, no, the good works are the good things that every day, every moment of the day, his spirit will lead you to do. It'd be too easy for us to have the rules. Because you know what? We'll pick the best, the easiest ones to follow, and we'll follow those. Yep, I don't kill anybody. I haven't stolen anything today. But you know what? He's got something so much better than that. He abolishes all of that. And what he does is he takes us and he makes us a new person in Christ. We used to be split. We had a side of us that chased after God because God was chasing after us. Every man has that in them, that God is chasing after them, and so there's a part of them that wants to chase after God. But when you're not saved, you have no idea how to get there. How do I go after God? Because you have that division. There's a middle wall, literally a wall, not just built between Mexico and America, a wall built between you and God. And here's what Jesus Christ does. He tears down the wall that separates us from God, and he says, now we are together. And he creates in himself from two, one new man. No longer are we separated and alienated from Christ. Now we are together with him. He in us. And we live in him. And we're at peace. Peace is not just a state of mind. Peace is part of the gift from God, because when God gives us peace, we enjoy freedom, we have joy to live in that freedom, and we live without guilt. Guilt keeps us from peace. Jesus Christ says, the past is the past. I bring peace. And then verse 19 gives us the last thought. Let's read verse 18 together. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Chapter 1 closed. It took an individual idea of how God saves each one of us. It was his plan before the foundation of the world, and he gives us faith. And then at the very end, in chapter 2, he says, now you have a body to work with together in this. Here in chapter 2, we get the same exact thing. He tells us all about this individual stuff that he does for us, how that he specifically makes of two, us being separate from God, one new person. But then he stops, and he ends the chapter by letting us know that we are fellow citizens with the saints. When he saves us, he brings us into himself. But not only are we sitting at the table with God, he's brought other people to sit in at the table with us. We're fellow citizens with the saints. We have other Christians to have. That's why we have a church. So that we can do life together and we can conquer this life together. And we're of the household of God. There's no household like the household of God. There's a farmer out one day and he was walking through the woods, he raised chickens. And he saw a little bird on the ground, and the bird was an eagle. And it was a little eagle. It had been displaced from parents. And so he took it home, and he put it in the chicken coop, trying to help it raise. And so the eagle grew up with a bunch of chickens. Okay? What an odd sight to see an eagle pecking at the ground like the chickens. When the eagle grew enough that the farmer knew he needed this thing to go off and to fly, because an eagle was not created to live in a chicken coop. And so the farmer took the top off the chicken coop, thinking that the eagle would see the sky and want to fly. And so he took the top off the chicken coop, and that eagle looked up, saw the expanse of the sky, kind of fluttered its fingers a little, or its feathers a little bit, and the farmer thought, there, here it goes, and then it put its head down and started pecking at the ground. And so the farmer thought, okay, it needs a little encouragement, so he took the eagle, and he took the eagle to the top of the barn, and the barn was overlooking the chicken coop, and he took that eagle, and he pushed it out, and the eagle did not want to fly, and it kind of flapped a little bit, guided its way right back to the chicken coop, and right in. And the farmer thought, this is ridiculous. You're an eagle. You're supposed to fly. So he took it out, way far away from the farm, to the top of a hill. And he set the eagle out, and he just held on to its feet for a few minutes so it could see what's out there. And then he took it, and he literally just threw it off. It was fly or die. And the eagle spread its wings and started to feel the wind begin to course underneath those feathers. And that eagle flew, and that farmer never saw that eagle again. You were not created to be a chicken in a chicken coop with God. You're an eagle that was put in a chicken coop because this world, it's where we all start. But God has something so much better than this world to be the end of our goal. And yeah, we look at Christianity and we look at the Christian life and we see the expanse of it and go, wow, that looks like it would be wonderful. And then we get back right down to the world with the chickens. And God, he reaches out to every person. And he says, I want you to fly. And he'll take us and he'll rise us up above and show us that, hey, listen, yep, there's your life. But I've got something better. And we go right back to the old life. And here's what salvation is. Salvation is when God takes us up to the top of that hill and he says, go. And even if we don't know how to go, he teaches us. Sometimes mid-flight. And he never wants us to return to that chicken coop. He never wants you to go back to your trash. He wants you to live in him. Your identity is in Christ. So live it. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you love us so much. That you don't just want to give us a ticket to heaven, but you want to help us right now. That every single person here, Lord, you have great and lofty plans. You don't want us to live in the chicken coop. You don't want us to live according to the former course of this world. So, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would just examine our lives for a couple minutes. Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, I pray that this morning they would just call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I need you in my life. Lord, you will give them the faith to save them, and you will help them to soar. And Lord, if there's any Christian here that's been visiting the chicken coop for whatever reason, they've been carrying around that stinky bag of sin, I pray, Lord, that we would just lay it all before you this morning and say, I don't want any of that. I just want my Lord Jesus. Lord, I know that you will do some great things in our hearts and lives this morning. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we have this closing song. I'm going to be standing in the front. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd love to talk to you about trusting him. And if you just need to do some business with God, the altar is open. Do what God wants you to do.
You write my wrongs. You
This morning, Wendell and Jamie Toms have come to join the church, and they've shared their salvation testimony with me. They've both been baptized by immersion, and I actually had the privilege of baptizing one of their sons a few months back now. So if I could have a motion to bring them into membership, I have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Wendell and Jamie, welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church. You guys want to go to the back? We'll extend the right hand of fellowship to you, okay? So we'll extend the right hand of fellowship to them as they leave. And as we all leave here this morning, I hope that you're encouraged this morning, okay? I hope that you find that Ephesians 2 has so many great things to say about God's grace and God's power in your life that he has made you alive. So since he makes us alive, what should we do?
Live!
All right? Holy Father, wonderful God, beautiful Savior, we love you. We thank you for what you do. Bless us as we go from here. Empower us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.